What does your cord look like?
I'm
It's
like, dude, I
black.
know it. Well, then you shouldn't be ashamed to show it to me. That's what I'm saying.
It's the one that's got the dual.
It
I guess
does,
the dual
dude. That's
type.
Fucking handy.
Yeah.
So you're. When
wow.
I said, "What does your cord look like?" I wasn't asking you a personal question, but you immediately responded with, "It's black," and then you didn't want to show it to me. All right, fair enough. Let's start this damn show.
Live from Monster Dome, deep underneath and yet somehow still five stories above Austin, Texas, this is Inside the Locker, the geekiest sportscast you've ever heard.
Welcome, everybody. It's Inside the Locker. You know what it is. You know what we do. I really don't know why I bother explaining it to you, but if you're listening to this, it means that you are one of the rare few, the hybrids, who are both geeks and sports fans, or as we call them affectionately around here, sports geeks. I am your host, Brian Salisbury, and I'm joined by, well, you know who they are. We got Elliot Fontanette.
They're also known as Ball Curious.
They're Ball Curious. I like that. Ball Curious. Welcome all of our Ball Curious fans. Hey, speaking of Ball Curious, we got JC DeLeon.
I was like, I wonder if I was going to sag into something.
Yeah, now yeah. I got nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Just go with it. Just it's over a lot faster if you just go with it.
Wait, who's
Whoa.
Balls?
What? Oh, no, I didn't. Oh, wow. No. I would cut that out, but no, I'm just going to leave
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's
in.
Fine.
That's unintentional.
And then, of course, Adam, the Beefy Nuggets Charles.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
It's good to Barry White in NPR.
It's good to see you. It's like porny NPR.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? That should be a thing.
It should be a thing, yeah.
Porny Nuggets.
Porny Nuggets. Make sure to follow us on iTunes or Stitcher. You can also follow us on Twitter at ITLcast and like the website on Facebook, facebook.com/oneofusnet. You may also consider getting yourself a free ebook courtesy of this episode's sponsor, audible.com. And definitely consider becoming a subscriber. We got two exclusive podcasts right now that is certainly going to grow. Lots of new content that's going to be in there soon. So definitely get on that. Well, we are still, it's still summer, which means one thing and one thing only. We don't have a shit ton to talk about. But we are going to...
Is it summer?
It is. Well
it's... Fast and the Furious came out.
There you
before,
go.
Yeah.
That's the
yeah.
beginning of my summer season now and forevermore.
Where the fuck is my summer vacation? This is bullshit.
I don't know. Where is your summer vacation?
Yeah. You're beginning to see the signs of it, because earlier we were watching SportsCenter and they were leading off with women's softball.
College. women's college
yeah.
softball.
Wait, leading off? With,
yeah.
Wow.
Well, I don't know if they were leading off, but when we were watching it, that's the segment they were doing.
Commercials.
Yeah, because we're a couple days away from the NBA playoffs starting, which are going to be awesome. But yeah,
That's
for
true.
A couple of days, there's not a whole lot going on.
So that is why we're here, to bring you as much entertainment as humanly possible. And I feel like we're going to go ahead and start with another round of IMDbo! I don't have a theme song yet, so that's just me making noise for a few seconds.
I am Debo. Okay.
Yeah.
You ain't
like that?
Got no job. I love that. Nobody else gets that reference who's under 20.
There you go. Formerly called March Movie Madness, we had to change the title since there is no March Madness anymore. So instead, it's I am Debo. And here's how the game works if you haven't been following along the last few weeks. We're going to go around the room, and each man at this table is going to select some IMDb synopsis. Synopsis. Gary's synopses. And basically, we're going to go around first at 16 words, the first 16 words of the synopsis, then the first 8 words of the synopsis, and then we're going to jump right to the deadly round of 2, where we say not the first 2 words, but the most important words. A couple of rules. First of all, we do have a category, sci-fi movies, in honor of the Star Wars trailer, which we're going to fucking talk about.
So, yeah.
And then, of course, the other rule is that anytime the synopsis includes a titular character name or something really clearly identifying, you replace it with Boom Baby.
Boom Baby.
Boom Baby. What do you say? Elliot, you ready to go?
I'm going to defer.
You're going to defer. All right, who's going to go first? Who's going to go first?
Let's go with Adam.
Should we?
Let's just volunteer people then.
Yeah, let's
do them right.
Yeah.
All right. Respect the sidebar.
Okay.
All right.
Ready?
Are you ready? I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You guys are ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Bonesaw's ready. Sorry.
Bonesaw is ready.
A man struggles with memories of his past, including a wife he cannot remember in a nightmarish world.
A wife he cannot remember in a nightmarish world.
Total Recall?
No.
Cool okay. World.
Inception.
No. And no.
A wife he can't remember. What do I know about Adam? Is it Dark City?
It's Dark City.
Okay. Boom! All right. That's one for me. JC, what do you got?
A hapless store clerk must foil criminals to save the life of the man who miniaturized.
Oh, Innerspace.
Yep.
Bam! I'm on a fucking roll today. I'm on a fucking roll.
I'm looking at it. Just give me a second here.
All
right. I'm not even listening anymore.
Can I say Boom Baby if, like, two of the words, like, one word just gives it away completely?
Why not?
Okay.
Well, is it a person or is it, like, a town? Because you can say
it's a description, but it basically should be the name of the movie.
I will allow for a Boom Baby in that situation.
Okay. A Boom Baby inferior man assumes the identity of...
An inferior man assumes the identity of...
That's 16 words?
Oh. Okay. A superior one in order to pursue his lifelong.
Nah, it didn't help
much. Yeah, it didn't really. But there's, let's start from scratch.
Boom Baby inferior man assumes the identity of a superior one in order to pursue his lifelong.
Assumes the identity.
I think y'all know this. It's a Boom Baby. If I removed that Boom Baby.
Like, my guess is it's like an adjective that is basically like the title.
Incredible.
Of the movie. Yeah.
Or, well, it's not the exact title, but it would give it away.
But it's an adjective, more than likely, that would it be synonymous maybe with a word in the title.
So.
It wouldn't be directly synonymous, but the subject of the movie is basically that adjective.
Is it replicant?
No. But you're close.
What movies does Elliot know? The Sixth
Day? That's why I went with The Sixth Day.
You're back in the right park, and I think JC has it.
No, sci-fi isn't my...
Isn't my fault.
You should have thought of that before I picked this category.
You know, and just in recognition of y'all were really fair to me, like, to not have to say that word, I'm going to give you the year.
All right.
Okay.
1997.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to go with Bicentennial Man.
Okay.
What I meant to say is I'm gonna go. I'm just gonna go.
Okay, then I love that movie, but I'm gonna go with I'm gonna just say the word now. Okay. A genetically inferior man assumes the identity of a superior one in order to pursue his lifelong dream.
Some kind of SWAT movie.
A genetically wait a minute. A genetically inferior man.
1997.
Oh, is it Gattaca?
Yep.
Boom! See, never seen Gattaca.
I love Gattaca.
Are any of you gonna play besides me? Or am I just gonna fucking dominate this week?
I don't know why I was thinking I was thinking lifelong being lifelong love. It's not, well, I guess technically this is lifelong love. Dream just not of a woman.
Yeah, he's trying to get to space and all that.
Right.
I love that movie. It's one of my favorites, and it's like one of my favorite Ethan Hawke roles, but that man's in fucking everything. Like, he was in Predestination. He was great in that.
Actually, I was going to ask you, did anybody actually watch that?
I did. That's your recommendation.
Which one?
Predestination?
It's good.
It is.
It's quite good.
The only movie I've seen him in that he was just out and out bad in, but it was more the movie, was that one with Selena Gomez. I forget what that was called.
Getaway. I think it was just called Getaway. Yeah.
I didn't even finish it.
The movie shot literally inside of a car. You know how they made that joke on 30 Rock that Tracy Jordan filmed a movie while sitting in the back of a limo? That's what that movie actually feels like.
It was so bad.
Yeah. You didn't see Unfriended. When you see Unfriended, you will see what bad concept looks like. All right, here's my 16, and if you guys don't get this, then we should just quit doing it. The alumni cast of a space opera television series.
Galaxy Quest.
There you go.
Right here.
That wasn't even... Okay, the alumni cast of a space opera television... Honestly, you guys got that in 9 words.
So if you just said the alumni cast,
that's all you gotta say.
Fair enough.
That's all necessary.
All right. Why are these machines here? What? What the hell?
I have one job on this ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it. Did you hear that got voted one of the top 10 Star Trek films by Star Trek fans?
And I think that's accurate.
I agree.
It's a very meta movie, but like, it's so great that Star Trek Enterprise, which I've actually gone back and started watching, because like by 2000...
Why?
Well, because I was really into Star Trek in middle school. Like, I would watch Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Next Generation, but I was sort of burned out on Star Trek by 2000 when Enterprise came on, which was like a prequel, but it has some time travel stuff to it. So like, it's on Netflix now, and like, I pay $8 a month to get Netflix, so I've been just watching that every night. And it's not bad, but like, they actually took some of the tropes from Galaxy Quest and made them real characters.
That's true, actually. That's a little odd.
Your drink looks good. I'm not going to make me one of those.
It's delicious. This is Kraken and Diet Dr. Pepper, because I'm a classy motherfucker.
All right. And a cracked pepper.
I call it Release the Kraken, but Keep the Calories. Yeah, I don't call it that because that's stupid.
That's stupid as shit.
Adam, fuckface. I'm sorry, beef nuggets. Beef nuggets McFuckface.
Okay, you ready?
What is your round of eight?
In 2027, in a chaotic world in which women have become.
2027.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a really old movie. It sounds like the 60s.
What was it again? I'm sorry.
In 2027, in a chaotic world in which women have become.
Children of Men.
Very good.
Oh, damn.
My God, I'm killing you guys.
Oh, my God.
Come on. This is embarrassing.
It
guys,
is. It is kind of.
I didn't really like Children of Men. That's probably why I didn't.
You know, what? And, first of all.
What?
I didn't like the aesthetics of it.
What?
First of all, Elliot is incorrect, but that's fine.
I like parts of it. Like, there's this one scene with Julianne Moore and Clive Owen where she talks about, like, if you're that buzz you
get in your ear.
That's a great scene, but there's some of it. Like, for me in sci-fi, I have a thing where it just can't be that bleak. And there's a part of that movie that's just so fucking bleak. I'm just like,
It is. It's all bleak.
Just like,
I don't want to say that's exactly what I love about it, but mm-hmm. I think what I do love about it is how it realistically portrays how I think society would be given those circumstances.
No. And look,
like if given the circumstances of if all of a sudden we became infertile.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no idea why.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd imagine we really would just go fucking mad. We would just go mad. If you have no idea what's causing the dilemma or what's causing your problem, then you can't even think. You can't even I don't know, allocate any resources to even go to try to solve it. You're just
You're just focused on it's all.
It's like we're gonna die, guys. Like eight, given 80 years, if we're lucky, like we're just gone. It's just gonna happen.
So speaking of a world gone mad, guys, a professional athlete actually was given life in prison recently.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about something I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. Not after the OJ thing.
That's true. Yeah.
Aaron Hernandez sentenced to life without parole for the murder of Odin Lloyd.
But you know what? It worked. Worked outside of his favor is that he really is an asshole that nobody likes.
So. I know exactly what you mean, but you said that sounds like a point I would make.
Yeah. Well,
just like, you know what worked against him is he's a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
But you're right. That's a legitimate point.
Yeah. No. It's
fucking crazy. Like as the verdict was being read, guilty or not, some people would have some kind of emotion. And he's just standing there really stoically, very kind of creepily. And then at one point, when as soon as they say guilty and they're reading off the list of the other charges that he's found guilty of, his lawyer kind of sits him down and the camera focuses on Aaron Hernandez. And this is really fucking creepy. He stares right at the jury and just mouths the words, "You're wrong."
Like, no, they're not.
Like, yeah, not emotional, not angry. He's just like, "You're wrong."
It's like,
you are wrong.
That's really fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Scanning. Right. You are wrong.
Kind of that motherfucker looks like, even more guilty now. It's like,
You
shouldn't be that cold about it. You shouldn't be like, well, I'm going to jail.
I mean, that is kind of, I think that is something that's a little bit more fucked up about, I wouldn't say necessarily the justice system, but how we,
because
I guess,
you use the word justice?
Well, I mean, because how we view different athletes, like we definitely grade them on different scales.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Hernandez is not exactly somebody who anybody's pining for, you know, oh, he should get a fair trial. Like, no, everybody actually really wanted to see his ass go to jail.
Well, except for Brandon Spikes, who was his former teammate. As soon as the verdict was read, he tweeted out, "Man, I don't understand the justice system."
No, he literally doesn't. Like, he literally doesn't understand it.
One of the best things that come out of this entire debacle has been, like, this joke that I saw on Facebook, and it's like, a saint, a racist, and a murderer walk into a bar. The bartender says, "Go Gators."
Wow. That's pretty good. Yeah, that is not bad. I mean, it's bad, but I like it.
Yeah.
All right, so what are we on here?
We're on the round of eight.
All right, JC, bring on your round of eight, motherfucker.
I'm even going to break it down to the eight most important words, because I still don't think you'd get it.
Oh, wow. Somebody,
did you hear the gauntlet get thrown down on that shit?
No, actually, no. You need to make this more of a challenge. So go ahead and read the first eight words, because Brian's already well fucking ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. If a clock could count down to the moment.
Oh, that you would die.
In time.
Timer.
Oh, shit.
Woo!
What did you say?
Timer, baby.
Timer?
God damn.
What the hell is Timer?
What the fuck is Timer?
It starred one of the characters from Buffy, was the only reason I fucking watched that movie.
Can someone explain to me what the fuck Timer is?
It's a romantic comedy.
Yep.
But it's a romantic comedy in which everybody is born with this clock on their wrist.
Yep.
And it has
that's called In Time.
No. But it's counting down to the moment that you're going to meet your soulmate.
Yep.
So it's In Time.
It's a shitty version of In Time.
Yeah, but well,
which
no,
In Time was
no,
a
no,
shitty
like,
version
no,
of
like In Time. No, In Time is a shitty version of Timer, it sounds
right.
like.
Yeah. Timer, it's actually really funny. It's got a really low budget, so it doesn't have anybody super famous. Man, kudos to you, Elliot.
Yeah, way to go, Elliot.
I watched it on Netflix 2 years ago, like at 11 o'clock at night.
That is, okay,
oh,
so.
Oh, I know this fucking movie. Oh, I don't know. I didn't see it. No, it's on. Yeah, it's on. It's streaming, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
on
Netflix. It should still be streaming.
I didn't even watch the entire thing because it's like 30 minutes in, it got sort of weird, but man, I remembered it.
I thought I had you guys.
Damn.
Dang it, Elliot.
Okay.
I am now tied with Ryan, says.
Well,
are you?
Queuing.
Because I have three.
I have two.
That's, yeah, okay. That's worth at least two.
You think?
Yeah.
I'll give that's it. What, if you guys agree on that, I will give Elliot 2 points.
That's worth at least 2 points.
All right. Elliot, you have scored 2 points, which ties you with me.
Yes.
But it's also your turn.
My turn!
Bring it.
A young man learns that he has to find.
I want to ask one.
Super 8.
No.
I want to ask one clarifying question.
And you're going to ask me the right one.
Okay. You are just restricting this to sci-fi and not fantasy, right?
It is sci-fi.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
And I'll even add you. I'll give you two more words.
Okay. E.T.
A hidden.
Thanks.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
No.
Fuck you.
Think about it. It's a movie I like.
Although, you know what? I got to give you props for that guess, JC, because Elliot tends to be the one who likes the movies that make my head explode. So if anyone was going to throw that one out there, it would have been Elliot.
I think that one gets a little bit too much hate, but it's not the best movie. A young man learns that he has to find a hidden... It's not a very popular sci-fi movie, and it came out around the turn of the century. And it has actually pretty big names in it.
A young man learns that he must find a hidden... Transformers.
No.
That's not funny.
No, it's kind of funny. Because the AllSpark could have been the hidden thing. Okay, I get it.
This is a very generic plot, sorry.
Well,
bless you.
You're welcome.
I'll give you another clue.
National Treasure.
No,
it's not sci-fi.
It's a movie where
that's
the
not
Earth
a young
has,
man.
It's a movie where the Earth has already been destroyed.
Is it Titan AE?
Woo!
No. Wow.
Oh. Yeah, you know, I literally just went, what's a movie where they're not on Earth? It's sci-fi that Elliot would anime. Oh, yeah, Titan AE. All right, sweet.
And it's animated.
Boom.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay,
That's a sci-fi movie.
No. Titan AE is exactly... It's totally a sci-fi movie. He is not a young man.
You're arguing with the synopsis.
Anytime you're under 25, you're still a young man. Because you're still a dumbass.
That actually was part of Aaron Hernandez's defense.
I'm a young man.
At the end, in the closing arguments, the defense is like, you know what? He was there, but he's a stupid kid. Can you give him a break?
Yeah, because a $40 million signing bonus is not a break.
Oh my gosh.
All right, so I've got a great one. Here we go. A sandman is forced to search for sanctuary.
Sandman.
Yes, I'm ignoring the first word because it's definitely a boom baby.
Well, is it?
So, boom baby, comma, a sandman is forced to search for, quote, sanctuary.
Is it Repo? Like the movie with...
No.
What, the genetic opera?
I will give you this hint. You are thinking way too recent.
Okay. A sandman.
I'm not going to know this one.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like, my weakness is everything before the 80s. Just to be honest.
Boom Baby is Sandman. Let's start off my next movie.
Only Adam knows how to boom baby a sandman. There's our next t-shirt. We should have t-shirts. Anyway.
We should have t-shirts.
Yeah.
That just says Boom Baby.
Just says Boom Baby.
Search for meaning here.
I was going to say, like, I'm pretty sure Boom Baby t-shirts exist. They were made in the 90s for Richie Miller.
Really?
Yeah. that was like the big thing that who was it? The commentator for the Pacers, I can't remember his name. Every time he hit a three pointer, it was like boom, baby.
Oh.
So there were a myriad shirts that had like a picture of Reggie Miller and then the words boom baby. That's kind of where I got it, actually.
Well, just Reggie Miller's shirt just says shit lord.
Oh, come now.
So boom baby is Sandman.
Fix your teeth.
Can I ask something?
Sure.
When you refer to Sandman, is this dream like
no
dream style Sam?
No. It's more of a official position.
Logan's Run.
Yes! Is the answer to your question.
You know what? I have never seen Logan's Run.
Neither have I!
Wow.
I've only seen it the one time.
Pulled it out of his ass and comes back within one. It is 4-3. Adam and JC have decided not to play.
It's 4-4. I got two.
What? Oh, that's right. You did get two. So we're at 4-4. Shit. Right. This is going to come down to the wire. This is exciting. Very exciting. What else? Is there anything exciting going on in sports that we should be talking about right this second?
No.
No?
I think everybody pretty much knew that Adrian Peterson was going to get
reinstated.
It's been officially announced. So
it has been. It is still unofficial where he will play. It looks like a lot of bridges have been burned between him and the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah. Well, it seems like more on his side than theirs. Yeah. I don't think they determined anything, that they did anything wrong, but
yeah, it just shows how unremorseful he is that he's like, you didn't stand by, you hit the shadow of your wife. What do you want us to do?
The thing that he was saying was that there was, I don't know if it was so much that they didn't stand beside him during the process, but he thought that there was actually certain things that was being done in Minnesota in association with Roger Goodell. Mm-hmm. That like wasn't getting made, like it wasn't making it out to the news or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And he felt that there was some backside stuff going on that they may have not necessarily mistreated him, but
led him down the wrong path as far as like what he should or shouldn't do.
I don't know. Because
like he agreed to being put on that weird made up list.
Yeah,
because he was told that after a certain time he would be reinstated, and he wasn't, and so stuff like that. Which I mean, I kind of get, but at the same time.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
To be upset at the team for not standing by you when you were clearly guilty of what you had done.
And to be fair, like, they did actually pay him. Like, they paid him.
Yeah.
They paid him his actual salary the entire time.
Yeah.
So it's not like I don't think it was like Greg Hardy-ish where, you know, he was actually not getting paid.
I don't think he has anything to get butthurt about, honestly. Like,
no.
And you know, the Cowboys are going to come knocking on his door any day now.
I mean, that probably will be.
Official prediction, he will be a Dallas Cowboy before the season starts.
Isn't that a song?
What?
Any day now, my ship will come in. Like, it's a musical song. Like, from a musical.
This is the guy who's beating you. I want to point this out. Adam, I want you to hear what just happened and realize that this guy is beating you
at
the movie.
I'm drinking decaf right now. So.
And I'm drinking beer.
See? Things do get better when you're drunk.
Yeah. So, anyway, but no, the thing I guess I was going to say about the whole Adrian Peterson thing was something very intelligent. We should just keep going on some with the game.
And that's Elliot stepping on Adam's point. I am sorry.
No, honestly, I think we're pretty much done with it. So
going to be a Cowboy, baby.
He's probably going to be a Cowboy. Either Cowboy or they think he's going to be going to Arizona, possibly. Like, Arizona actually has good cap room to go after him. And, that's what I was going to say about it was... I think the legit thing that he does have some kind of a legit fear of is whether or not, whether he'd be welcomed back by the organization of Minnesota, but the city. So, you know, I can see that being sort of not necessarily a fear, but you definitely don't want to go play somewhere where you're not wanted, not by the organization, but also by the fans, you know? Like, you'd want to hope that you can go somewhere where you might be, at least to some degree, welcomed with some open arms. Like, they'd at least be open to having you on their team.
Yes, but I will point out that sometimes fandom can overtake reason. Like, if you look at all the women wearing Ray Rice jerseys after he was indicted, it's like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah. I think fans are very forgiving of things pretty quickly. Like, A-Rod got a standing ovation his first at bat.
And fuck a bunch of that guy.
Yeah.
Said Madonna.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it is a legit concern, but, I mean, that's absolutely true. Once he breaks for 150 yards, like his first game, and
they're not
going to
care anymore.
And they win, they don't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, hell, even, I think he was totally joking, but, you know, with any joke, just kind of a half-truth, this guy on ESPN radio was talking about, hours before the Hernandez verdict, he's like, are we days away from having a discussion of which team's going to sign Aaron Hernandez? Like,
Yeah, thank God, because that would be a show that all of the blood vessels in my brain would have popped. So
I think that would be the one circumstance where the fans are like, no.
See, yeah. I don't think so, because even if he still had other murders to get on trial for.
All right, so we've moved into the dangerous round of two, which is, of course, a change-up, because now you're not reading the first two words of the synopsis. You are reading the most important two words of the synopsis.
This is basically the Brian and Elliot show. Then I got to find some. I'm going to find something real quick that is
I'm sorry for stepping on your point.
Equally.
No. He didn't mean that. He meant because we're kicking their asses.
No, it's no longer, like, we can't compete now. So
you literally can't.
Yeah.
You could get every one of these right for the next round and still not win.
Ooh, actually, what should happen in the event of a tie?
Ooh, I don't know. We'll figure it out when we get there. We'll figure it out when we get there.
Okay. All right. Well, hold on. What's something that Elliot...
I mean, mine's super easy, but it'll give us a chance to talk about it because it's a movie I love.
So. Okay. Well, you go first then, since you've already got some.
Giant Worms.
Oh,
Tremors.
Yep.
Damn it.
I love that movie so hard.
I was going to say Beetlejuice, so hey.
You were going to say... Why would that be the most... Okay.
My favorite part of the movie.
No, but how would that even get mentioned in the synopsis? Mm. Like, what, giant worms on Saturn, and also this family and some ghost or whatever. But giant worms on Saturn, you know, that would be like Inception. So this top spins and a bunch of other crap.
A bunch of shit that doesn't really make sense, even synopsis. Though I say it does.
Yeah. That's an honest trailer synopsis.
It is, yeah.
Have you guys seen the other three Tremors movies?
I've seen the second one.
The third and the fourth one get kind of silly, but I mean, I still kind of like them.
Isn't the fourth one a prequel?
I was like, yeah, which is the one that goes back to like the old West?
That's Back to the Future 3.
Yeah.
Or Tremors 4.
Yeah.
Tremors 4?
Tremors 4.
Okay. Isn't one of the guys still actually?
Michael Gross, right?
Yeah, like the hunter guy or whatever. It even in the prequel, it's like his great great grandfather or whatever. Like
wasn't Michael Gross the one who was on Family Ties or some like it was either Family Ties or what's the other one? Growing Pains, maybe.
No, you might be right.
One of those two shows.
I think it's Family Ties. Okay, one of Michael J. Fox, right?
Yeah, that's Family Ties.
Yeah,
and then Growing Pains is the one whose theme song I can never get out of my head.
Yeah.
Oh, what was that?
Show me that smile. Yeah.
Show me that smile.
And then with
smile.
Alan Thicke, who did that one terrible, terrible thing in conceiving an awful child.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't waste another minute on your crying.
Okay,
we're
sorry.
Nowhere near the ending. Which is the one that Leonardo DiCaprio was on?
He was on Growing Pains.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
As long as we've got each other, that fucking top won't stop spinning.
Actually, holy shit, that actually really worked.
But Family Ties had a nice opening, too. It was like, I bet we've been together for a million years.
Wow, I can't remember. Anyway, we're getting sidebar. Way to go. That's Elliot's sidebar for the day, everybody, even though I started it. Don't worry about it.
But if we're talking about things that we're looking forward to.
Yeah.
If we talk about the Star Wars trailer that got released today.
I think we should devote the whole middle segment to that trailer. I was thinking about it, and I wanted to devote a whole segment.
The beginnings of the summer doldrum, us being the first show to record since it was released. Yeah.
We may actually beat Digital Noise if I do this right. We may be the first show on the website to talk about this. So.
Okay.
So
I got mine.
You got yours. Go for it.
I'm going to use four words if that's okay.
Okay, no. Just break my fucking rules, don't you?
Well, fine, I won't.
Well, Kentucky gets nine NBA players, so...
I'll use three words.
Okay.
Well, I can only use two. Princess...
And we're back to stasis.
Well, I felt like I was disrespecting Brian.
I wish Bill Belichick could be guilted into following the rules the way you just did.
It's like,
I'm sorry. I'll put the cameras away. Reinflate the balls.
Okay.
Wait, only three things are important.
Think about the movies.
Fucking only two.
Think about the movies that I like. Okay. And it's before 1990 it was released.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. All right.
Before 1990, all right.
Princess Struggles.
Spaceballs.
No.
Startles?
Struggles.
Struggles?
Star Wars.
No.
Princess Struggles.
It's not something that's like a top-line sci-fi movie.
Battle Beyond the Stars.
It's a sci-fi movie, but it's a non-traditional sci-fi movie in the same vein as Titan A.E.
Princess Mononoke?
No, but you're close.
Nausicaa.
Yep.
Way to go, Adam. All right.
Points! I got a point!
And the voice in the American version of Topa is Captain Picard. Forgot his name now.
Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Make it so, Elliot.
For the longest time, that was my favorite Miyazaki movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
All right, so the score is now 5-4-1. Mm-hmm. Adam coming in to be a streak breaker. So this means that the next two round of two category or whatever rounds
categories
are really important, Elliot. Really important. Okay. So
hold on.
I'm looking for JC. Did his? Do you want me to do mine?
I can
do
mine. Go and do yours.
All right. You ready for this? No. Here's the best part of mine. The most important two words are also the first two words. In 1997.
Demolition Man.
Independence Day.
Nope.
Volcano.
Come on.
In 1997.
Oh, Men in Black.
No.
You guys are thinking about this all.
The movie takes place in 1997.
So it's a piece of Escape
from New York.
It is Escape from New York!
Fuck!
So, Elliot, that means you have to get Adams right in order to tie this and stay in the game. And neither of you will finish with zero, so congratulations, chuckleheads.
Yeah. Tied for last.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
You're like Providence.
Strive for mediocrity.
Providence getting through the first round and nothing else.
Yeah. Hey, that gets coaches bonuses sometimes.
Got Shaka. No, he got to the fucking Final Four. Shut up, Brian. You shut up. Okay, fine.
Okay. I think I got one.
All right.
I'm throwing Elliot he at least has a shot at this.
All right.
So, okay. You got a shot, Elliot.
Let's see. Most two important words.
I can't believe you got a timer.
Dude, that was fucking baller.
Am I using that word right? All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? Quick question.
Okay. Two words, Adam.
Is it two words if one of them is hyphenated?
No, that's one word.
One word? All right. Okay, so motorcycle, Neo Tokyo.
Akira.
Oh!
Wow. Wow, I hate that movie. Okay. Holy shit, we have got ourselves a tie.
That was like thank you, Adam, because that was just a slow pitch over the middle. All
right, here's how I think we should settle this. So the one round we skipped was the round of four.
Okay.
So, JC, I want you to pick one more synopsis and read the first four words.
Oh, God.
And whichever one of us, myself or Elliot, gets it first is the winner of this round of IMDbo. This, by the way, has been the most exciting game of IMDbo we have ever played.
Just because apparently, I'm doing better when,
By the way, if I know the answer, I'm jumping right the fuck in.
I was smashing you guys for the first couple rounds, and then Elliot, out of nowhere, like Virginia Commonwealth, comes back.
Shaka with
and
smart.
And shakas the world with his smartness. I should write promos for ESPN.
You actually do better promos than them.
So this week on Women's College Softball, click.
Sponsored
That's not... I want to make it very clear... That is not us saying that only men's sports matter. What it is me saying is that fuck softball. If it was men's softball, I would have the same reaction.
Probably.
If it men's college baseball, I have the same reaction to, which is don't care, click. Most professional baseball, my reaction is don't care, click. Why are we doing a sports show? We probably shouldn't have done this.
Oh, okay. Wait.
That's okay.
So are you picking the... Wait, so is the key to pick the four most important words or just the four first
Ooh,
words?
Let's do the four most important words.
Yeah, that's a good tiebreaker.
Yeah. That's a good tiebreaker. The four most important words of the synopsis. You got it?
Okay. I think you looked right, for like three.
No. I think he's got one. He's got one. Let's stick with four. All right. You ready, Elliot?
Yep.
Here we go.
Mysterious transmission.
The signal.
Yeah.
Yes! I was going to say
K-Pax. That's two words! Two words, United States! Don't break! Don't wait!
Okay, sorry.
I went Kanye. Two words, Jesus Christ.
Because I love the signal, that's how.
I have an autographed copy of that movie signed by one of the stars of the film that says thanks for the sex. Because he's funny.
Yeah. I was going to say K-Pax.
That would have been good too. Yeah, I was worried I was making it too easy on Brian.
It could have also been contact.
But then I thought mysterious transmission could be. Yeah.
Oh, it feels so good. It feels so good. Well, that was.
I'm just happy I was a contestant.
Dude, you fucking got right to the wire.
Because y'all are my friends, my law school friends, they're like, oh, Ellie, you know movies. I'm like, I don't know movies compared to my other friends.
And I feel the same way about me. Like, it's just one of those things that, you just keep moving up that ladder, and it's the people above you are just like, I don't know shit.
Yeah.
And, Cargo will let you know that you don't know. Sorry, I love Cargo, but...
I am not editing that out because it's true, and it is funny.
Yeah. No. This is why you're wrong.
No, 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 no.
It's cool. He doesn't listen to the show.
That's true. He never. He doesn't listen to the show we record together, so there's no way he's listening to this show. Anywho, guys, that's going to do it for our first round, and I'm sorry the news was so sparse, but again, it's the fucking summer. So, oh, and Mayweather and Pacquiao are going to fight soon. That's literally all the coverage has been like, look, now they're doing this conference. Now they're doing that conference.
It's weird because that was announced like, what, 4 weeks ago?
Yeah.
It's about a month ago now.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, 4 weeks ago.
I was going to let that go.
Yeah. I mean, the NBA season.
It was almost like 7 days ago.
No, it was a week, actually.
Yeah. The NBA regular season wrapped up, but we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a other segment.
Yes, so, that's very true. There was actually a pretty exciting finish to the regular season of the NBA, but we're going to talk about that in just a second. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to move on to a galaxy far, far away. So, not so long ago, the full trailer for Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, was released online. And by not so long ago, I mean earlier today.
The Force is strong in my family. My father has it. I have it. My sister has it. You have that power too.
I'm not even going to ask you guys what you thought of it. I am going to ask you, because we're going to go metric because I feel like being different, in centimeters, the size of your erection as you watch this trailer.
I don't even know how to measure centimeters. So.
Well, that's good because we can make things seem bigger that way.
Okay. All of them.
All of the centimeters.
Honestly, for me, like, I'm so burned from the prequel.
Ooh,
thing.
Interesting.
The only thing that really got me was the cool stormtrooper, like that was like metallic, and then seeing. Can we just talk about the full trailer?
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, we're seeing Harrison Ford. That was cool.
Yeah. Oh but my like, god.
I've seen so many good fucking trailers for Star Wars that I don't trust them anymore.
Well, I agree, and I think
that's
one,
fair.
The
that's
one
fair.
Thing that I, the one thing that I got, I think I got very excited about was honestly, if I had been blind. I never would have. I wouldn't have even thought that this was
the prequels actually, wouldn't have been so bad.
That's true.
Yeah,
but no, they would have been even worse. Because the worst thing about those movies is everything
the dialogue.
To.
They make.
I hate sand. Yeah. It's coarse and rough. It gets everywhere. Shut the fuck up and die already.
It's like that director made Natalie Portman and I forgot his name.
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. Oscar-nominated actors, by the way, both of them.
Look like they couldn't fucking act.
Oscar-winning actress.
That's true. Did he win? He don't think he won. No.
She has won, though.
Yeah, it made him look just stupid.
Oh, wait, has she won?
Black Swan.
Yeah. She did win, right?
Yeah, she won
Black Swan. Okay, just making sure I'm not lying.
She won way after the prequels, so.
Anyone who wasn't in the prequels also won. I just want to throw that out. Liam Neeson, the best choice he ever made was dying in the first prequel movie. That's the best decision.
He was the best part of that movie.
He was, and he got the fuck out because he knew what was coming.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, Elliot, I totally get that because like you, there was a period of time right after the prequels where it was like, fuck Star Wars, I don't care, whatever. But then, just when I thought I was out, I kept watching those movies, and I can't deny how much I love those original movies.
That's true.
And then I saw The People versus George Lucas, which is an incredible documentary about why you can, you know what? Say whatever you want about, like, well, you can still go back and watch the original versions. It's like, yeah, it's really fucking difficult to find them. But yeah, let's flippantly say that this is just us, you know, having geek rage. But here's the other thing. He should be taken to the fucking Hague and brought up on war crimes for what he tried to do to the original Prince of Empire Strikes Back.
Yep.
He wanted to find them all and burn them.
Yeah, that's are just you, the height of the
area. It's in the fucking National Film Registry. Oh, yeah. You can't fucking do that. It's literally illegal, and you should be brought up on war crimes because of it.
It goes to the idea of artists. Like, once you put something out into the world, you should be able to profit from it, but you no longer own it.
You own people it, but you don't... to that. You don't... You can't tell people how they can see it
exactly.
If the version that they've seen is already out there.
And it's that's what it's like
yeah. Because to me, that's Orwellian. To me, that's you trying to rewrite history that already exists.
Yeah.
That's 1984 bullshit, and I will not stand for it. That being said, I went back, I found the despecialized editions, which were ripped from the laser discs and cleaned up, and they're online. You should check them out. I'm totally endorsing piracy when it comes to this, because fuck the prequels,
right.
And fuck all those special editions. It's called the Despecialized Editions. You can go and you can download them. They are beautiful. They are untouched. And watching those for pretty much every day for a solid month, I was just like, yeah, I remember why these movies mean so much to me.
Yeah, and just as a sidebar, just real quick.
Sidebar.
Anybody who talks about how piracy is just an absolute wrong, you have to give up Netflix, you have to give up Hulu, you have to give up everything that has come from piracy forcing the market to correct. Because it used to be that you would spend $30 for 4 episodes of a series instead of just $10 and you get the entire like season of a show at Black Friday.
It's interesting. It's a good point.
The only reason that all this shit is so cheap is that the market had to adjust and offer Netflix. Otherwise, people will still be downloading every fucking thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Elliot, that's a good point.
So I just wanted to, that's a pet peeve
of mine. That's an effective sidebar, and yeah. I appreciate it. Let's go through this trailer start to finish.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, wait, by the way.
Yeah.
The one thing that I was going to say is, because even if I was blind, the thing that got me really excited about it was the sound effects. The sound effects.
ILM, man.
Like, it sounded so authentically original
that,
I could just close my eyes.
You're talking about the trailer?
The trailer, yeah.
That's one of the things that's evident from the very get-go.
Like just the sound effects of the gun. It even sounds different. Like, it does not sound like the prequels. It sounds like the original trilogy.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting point. I hadn't thought of that.
Another thing as far as, like, what you hear, this was kind of pointed out to me by a friend of mine who's obsessed with Star Wars, is the line, going to spoilers, is what's in the trailer.
Oh yeah, I think at this point everyone who's listening to this has seen the trailer. Yeah,
and I think the big reveal in the trailer is seeing Han and Chewie. So I mean, what I'm going to bring up is one of the
There's
one of my friends brought up the point where whoever is doing the voiceover brings up the line talking about the Force and says my father has it.
Thank you. I said Blake and I were watching it. My brother and I were watching it, and I was like, he has. And Blake's like, yeah, he said he had. I'm like, no. Yeah. He said he has it. Yeah. My father has it.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting...
He has it, I have it.
Yeah.
Darth Vader isn't dead then?
Why does everybody else...
You don't necessarily know who's talking.
Yeah.
No, it's Mark Hamill.
I thought it was
Luke. It's totally Mark Hamill.
Are you sure?
I recognize his voice anywhere. Yeah, that's Mark Hamill. Yeah.
Okay.
And what's crazy about it is that not only does he say my father has it, but what's unclear is whether he's talking to his own child or whether he's talking... It's unclear who he's talking to, because you think he's talking to his child the way it's set up, but if you really listen, he says, my father has it, my sister has it.
I have it.
It's been like, and I see it in
you. I see it in you. Yeah.
And it's like, holy shit, he may not be talking to a relative at all.
I bet you money he's talking to John Boyega.
Oh my god, if John Boyega is...
I bet you money that he's the Jedi.
It's really clear in this trailer, by the way, that John Boyega, who is
a much bigger part,
is a huge part of this movie. Yeah. And that like makes me so happy, because I think we're all pretty big fans of Attack the Block in this room. Yeah. Allow it, bruv. He's the first person you see in the first teaser trailer.
Yeah. Right?
But it's like, everybody just thought, he's a black stormtrooper, it's a gimmicky thing, whatever.
Yeah.
No, he might be the main character of the film.
And that's kind of one of the things, like, following it along on Twitter, because I had to at work because I couldn't watch it live, but people mentioning how big of a presence John Boyega is, strong female characters.
There's literally a scene where she picks him up off the ground.
Yeah,
yeah.
And if that isn't an indication that there's going to be a strong female presence in this movie, I don't know what is.
Yeah, and somebody even in the Q&A asked Kathleen Kennedy, who's like the head honcho of Star Wars at this point. Like,
one of the most powerful producers in Hollywood, by the way.
Which female character would you be? And she said, well, I don't have a lot of choices, but that's going to change.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I tell you, like, damn it, the point left my fucking mind.
Well, while you're thinking about Go ahead.
One thing that they would be smart to do is, you don't want to set up this idea that there's this dynasty of power within this universe. You don't want to be like, this family has all the Force. If you want the Force to be this fluid concept and take it away from the fucking midichlorians that got brought in the prequels and do something opposite, you really should bring in somebody, it's just a regular stormtrooper that was a recruit that discovers he has the Force. All of a sudden, you have an everyman again.
Yeah, let me get into the movie. I don't think it was ever really established that it was completely genetic.
Stop. It was in a terrible film called Episode 1.
But we all, like, blocked it.
Because the midichlorians is a fucking literal biological genetic thing that gets passed on, according to Episode 1. Now, hopefully, J.J. Abrams is smart enough to go, all that stuff that was introduced in the prequels, let's just fucking throw that out and pretend it doesn't exist.
Okay.
However, I want to put forward this. First of all, the opening shot is a speeder going across the desert, and then what does it slowly reveal? The wreckage of a Star Destroyer on a planet. Oh my god. I almost went blind. I was just so excited. I was like, holy fuck. And then I could have listened to all the great sound effects. But I was just like, that is the most amazing thing I have ever seen. That is like the kind of stuff that you would watch in fan films or the expanded universes and be like, God, I want to see this on screen. And now we get to see it on screen. I am also going to put forward that I think it's been a couple years ago now. I wrote this article. It's a very unpopular article because that's pretty much all I ever write. Where I put forward the idea that Luke Skywalker should be the bad guy in the new Star Wars. Because
I don't think that's out of line with actually. I might be wrong on this, but how some of the novels.
No, that is how it happens.
Okay, yeah. I hadn't read those first of all, but I was basing it entirely on the ending of Return of the Jedi. Because at the end of Return of the Jedi, I realized Luke Skywalker is going to wake up in a couple days after those Ewoks are done cannibalizing all the stormtroopers. By the way, where do you think those helmets came from? They ate those fucking stormtroopers.
Well, fuck them. They invaded their planet.
And that's fine, but it's like he's surrounded by death and evil, even amongst the heroes. And secondly, he's going to wake up the next day and go, wait a minute. I'm the only powerful space wizard left in the whole universe.
I'm the only
powerful. I am the most powerful being in the universe.
Like Home Alone.
That is gonna, I made my family disappear. And he's gonna realize that if he wants the universe, it is his for the taking. The Empire's gone. He's the only one with the Force. He can totally take it. Now, two things in this new trailer I think actually support my theory. One is John Boyega. Because John Boyega looks to be the hero, even though he's seen mostly wearing
a stormtrooper
costume. Yeah. So could it be that the paradigms of good and evil have shifted in this movie? Where the bad guy is the good guy and the long established iconic good guy is the bad guy? Because it looks to me, friends, like the bad guy in this trailer is wearing a mask and we don't actually know what he looks like, but he does appear to be using the Force.
I'd say it depends. Like, it depends on how they want to do this. If they want the previous cast to really be involved in a big way, you have to give them a reason to be there.
Yeah.
You can't just have them be like, we're the original cast, remember us, what? And then okay, get off the fucking screen.
I agree. And how easy would it be for J.J. Abrams to be like, guys, Luke Skywalker's the bad guy. And all of them go, ooh, and immediately come back.
I mean, and thematically it would really fit because he might even think, he could actually come from the same direction that Darth came to the dark side and say like, I have a right to rule. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am the best.
And how did Darth Vader come about? From somebody being his mentor and the wrong person being mentor and cultivating the wrong instincts in him?
And his frustration at seeing how the Senate functioned, that he just wanted somebody who could just cut through all the bureaucracy. That was his end goal, but he thought the ends justify the means.
Yeah.
And he just found himself too caught up in being evil, now that he just turned evil.
And you will forgive me if I don't trust the Galactic Rebellion to put forward an infrastructure that can really be stable enough to not frustrate Luke Skywalker. How many Bothans died to get one piece of information? I'm just saying, they're disorganized.
Rebellions, like, historically, rebellions have been easy, but it's actually governing that's hard. Like, if you look at the French revolutions, like, I'm using plural.
Yeah.
Like, they had a few, but it's like, governing's hard.
Yeah, and there's a historical context. Look at the fucking revolution of the Afghan people against the Russians. And look which side of that we were on.
Well, I mean,
how we paid for those sins later.
Well, I mean, America, like, there was a fatal flaw in the Constitution when it was signed in slavery that barely got worked out in the Civil War. Like, so, America almost became, like, three different states.
A Civil War, you say? Kind of like an empire versus a rebellion in the same galaxy? I'm just saying, guys, don't rule it out. It might happen. But obviously, that's not the... Watching X-Wings apparently come out of water? Like, I'm like, holy shit, yes. He has... And again, J.J. Abrams demonstrated in Into Darkness that he has a propensity for putting iconic ships underwater. and also, what is the Millennium Falcon flying through? It's wreckage. Is it the wreckage of a Star Destroyer? Is it that same Star Destroyer?
It looks like it might be.
Because he goes in through an exhaust port.
Yeah, looks like it could be.
We don't know for sure.
Because they're on a desert planet, it looked like.
Which is probably Tatooine, I would assume, but I could be wrong. There's a lot of desert planets.
You know what? One thing I will say that I am actually really excited about, I did not even think about it until now, but why I am a little bit happy that J.J. Abrams is actually directing this is because J.J. Abrams does have this thing where he does like to keep things under wraps. Mm-hmm. So
and then lie about then, the things he can't?
Sure.
Lie.
But and that's fine. But I mean, at least I like the idea that the things that we're talking about in the teaser, these are things that we weren't really aware of until we actually saw the teaser, you know?
People were making jokes on Twitter about how frustrated J.J. Abrams looked at be forced to have any reveal footage this early.
The force revealed. He really hates that.
And I will say this, like, if there's anybody that could revitalize Star Wars after... And I'm a huge Star Trek fan, but I'm not one of those that has my head in the sand. The reboot in 2009 was a fucking masterpiece.
It was phenomenal. It was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, that franchise was fucking dead. Yeah. I mean, it was gone. There was only doing like these web series and these shitty novels. And they brought it back to fucking prominence. And if they can, and he can do that with Star Trek, which is honestly a harder sell to a general audience just because of how it was formed and when it was formed and why it was formed. Mm-hmm. Star Wars, he can fucking certainly do it.
Yeah, no, and the best part is, he's not doing the next one. Yeah. So everyone who hated Into Darkness, don't worry, because he's going to do what he did with Star Trek and then leave.
Yeah.
Like, that's like one of my favorite movies of all time now.
It's pretty damn fantastic. And then, of course, we can't not talk about this. We mentioned it already, but Han Solo.
Yes.
We're breaking this trailer down NFL style with X's and solos. So, ayo.
Was it Han Solo from Fast 7, or was it real Han Solo?
No, not that Han Solo.
Okay.
Freaked me out for a second. Yes. I was like, you know that was Kurt Russell, right? Not Harrison Ford. And then I realized what you mean. Sorry about that. I was like, what the fuck is he talking? Oh, okay. So the trailer ends with, you hear this just, Chewie, we're home. And I have to assume that he says that line as they step back onto the Falcon, and I will probably cry.
Yeah.
If that's when he says it, if that's the scene when that happens, and then Chewie does his bark, that was good. I will cry.
I tell you what's really beautiful about all of this is that these are probably going to be the movies that Harrison Ford makes before he retires. Like, he's getting up there, and this will be a great way to go out. Just
be a hell of a swan song.
Just be like, I'm coming back, and I'm going to make sure it's going good, and I'm going to retire.
Fix that Crystal Skull thing. Yeah.
That'd
be nice.
Crystal Skull wasn't that bad.
Two things. Yes, it was.
It was better than the second one.
Better than
Temple of Doom?
Oh, yeah.
Temple of Doom's great. Temple of Doom's kitschy.
Well, you know what? We're going to do commentaries for both. Okay. Because I've just decided this.
Yes, because jumping out of a... falling out of a plane in an inflatable raft is so much more plausible.
Nope, not going to do this right now. Okay. Not going to get into this with you. Okay. Not going to do it.
Okay.
What I am going to say. Not going to fucking do this, Elliot. You're not going to...
Sorry about Star Wars, Elliot.
You're not going to turn me to the dark side and pull me into that debate.
Let the butt hurt flow through you.
God damn you, Elliot. I am just saying that would be... Like, if the last shot of the movie is Han Solo riding off going, you know, I think I'm going to do one more Kessel run, and then just flies away... Oh, I might die. I might just tell my body to die because I will never see anything that great ever again.
You just get assumed into heaven.
I just become like, a hologram. I become a hologram, and not the young version of me, because that's fucking stupid. The version of me that died. Anyway, Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. I think we're all really excited about it. I think this trailer did nothing but up our enthusiasm level like 100-fold. So really excited about that, and really excited to move into... Segment 3 of this show, in which we're actually going to talk about sports! We're going to talk about the NBA, and specifically how the playoffs have shaped up, and who our vote is, each of us, for MVP. But first, JC, bring us up to speed on the really exciting finish to the regular season.
So the playoffs, the seeding basically boiled down to... The West was crazy, as usual. The Spurs and the Rockets were basically battling for second or sixth seeds.
Yeah.
Which basically meant in the last game, the Spurs were playing the Pelicans. If the Pelicans won, they were in the playoffs. If the Spurs won, they automatically get the 2 seed. The Rockets, all they had to do was win, and they would get the 2 seed, provided that the Spurs lose. Well, the Spurs did lose.
Wait, okay. I thought the last game was the Pelicans versus the Thunder.
No.
That wasn't the last game?
No, it was coming down between the Pelicans and the Thunder for the finals.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So the Rockets ended up winning. They took care of their business. The Spurs did not, although they were down as much as 23 in that last game, but then they ended up coming back to within 4. But the Pelicans ended up pulling it out, and so the Pelicans are in the playoffs. Anthony Davis in the playoffs for the first time. Their prize is the 67-win Golden State Warriors, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, that's a terrible prize. Yeah. But it is really shocking to me that the Oklahoma Thunder, who have had, at different points throughout this season, 2 different players in the MVP discussion, did not even make the playoffs.
Yeah, And yeah, as far as not making the playoffs, it's always interesting seeing the teams that are kind of tanking at the very end. Because the Miami Heat and the 76ers were playing an interesting game in which both had to lose. And so Miami, which
I don't know if you guys know a lot about sports, can't really happen.
Yeah, it's really hard to do
unless it's hockey.
Miami sat all of their starters. They basically only played six guys. Ended up playing one of the best games of the season. The 76ers,
they lose at losing.
Yeah, the 76ers at one point were letting Joel Embiid call a play in the timeout.
Just trying to lose by any means necessary.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. But yeah, the reason why they had to lose is the Miami Heat, with a loss, have a 91% chance at keeping a top 10 pick. If they won and lost that chance, their 11 and beyond pick would go to the Sixers.
Oh, yeah, they'd be able to lose that game.
Yeah. Well, they even though the Heat won, they ended up keeping their 10th pick because Brooklyn also won.
Okay. But,
yeah, I want to talk about Brooklyn's victory because in the West, we have one of the powerhouse teams, the Oklahoma City Thunder, not even making the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
In eight positions of the playoffs, they couldn't secure one. Meanwhile, in the East, a really awful team, my Indiana Pacers, were within a ball hair away from actually making the playoffs with their abysmal record and without, well, they had Paul George, but for most of the season did not have Paul George.
Right. Yeah.
So all the Nets had to do was the thing they do best. Lose.
Yeah.
That's it. And the Pacers would have been in. Unfortunately, that didn't happen.
Speaking of the Pacers, one of the interesting things that also came out at the end of the season is they dodged a huge bullet. I remember in the beginning of the season, we made fun of Lance Stephenson because he had turned down the more money that the Pacers were giving him to go take less money and gamble on himself in Charlotte. Well, he had the worst three-point shooting in the history of the NBA.
Jesus Christ. He blew it.
Yeah, wow.
He attempted...
he blew it. I like it.
He attempted 106 threes. This year, he only made 18 of them.
Wow.
So the Pacers dodged
on the
huge...
On the flip side, in practice, Steph Curry made 78 of those motherfuckers in a row.
In a fucking row. He made, was it 94 out of 100?
94 out of 100.
And 77 in a row.
He shot 94% from the 3-point line. People don't do that from free throw percentage.
Shaq's like, that's an impossible number. Nobody can do that.
No.
So the Pacers, you know, they're in the lottery. They have a chance at a really good pick, and they dodged a huge bullet with what Lance Stephenson turned out to be this year.
Absolutely.
It's just amazing to me just how much different the NBA landscape is this year than it was last year.
And the team that finished dead last in the lesser of the two conferences also happens to be the team that had the most promise in the preseason, the New York Knicks. Apparently, there are some miracles even Phil Jackson can't work.
Yeah, they missed the playoffs last year. All signs pointed to them having a much better year this year. They ended up having a worse year.
I just think it's Carmelo Anthony. I just don't think he's not a one man. He needs to be the Scottie Pippen. He's not Michael Jordan. He's a great star if he doesn't have to play that hard.
And I think at this point,
that's a really interesting designator. He's a great star if he doesn't have to work that hard.
The best games I've ever seen him play have been in the Olympics because he is not focused on it. He can just knock down open jumpers.
Yeah. Funny enough, like he said something he wouldn't have said that exact thing about himself. But he did say that, you know, he'd be perfectly fine being in like the number two role if the New York Knicks decided to go after some like a major star in free agency, because I guess they're going to have a pretty sizable cap room over the course of like the next season. Oh, yeah.
They got a lot of cap room.
They got a lot of cap room that they can play with, and they're going to, but you know, potentially going after somebody like Durant or, you know, who's going to be hitting a free agency in 2016, that kind of thing. And they were talking to him about it, and he was like, honestly, I'd be perfectly fine with that. Being in the number two role. He's 30 years old now. Yeah. I mean, he's reaching that age, like that Dwayne Wade age, where you're going to start slowing down a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're perfectly fine being in that comfortable role of, no, you can run this. I'll just hit my shots from over here.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. It's like, and you know, you said Durant, and I thought about, you know, he might be going to Washington to play with John Wall and come home. And just an aside, but the Washington Wizards recently unveiled like a new logo.
Yeah.
That looks like,
if it's not Gandalf the Grey, I don't care.
Well, it looks like a dick is trying to fuck something. It's what? Weird.
What?
Yeah. What? All right, I'm going to look this up immediately.
Yeah, like think of the in Community, the human being logo, how it looks like an anus.
Yeah.
E pluribus anus.
Yeah. And
it looks sort of like it.
The Washington Monument is basically erect going straight up into a star.
Oh my god, it totally looks like a dick fucking an asshole. It's literally going into the chocolate starfish. Wow. Adam, you need to see this shit.
I like how we're so amazed by that, because something looking like a dick.
Well, no, I'm amazed
looks
that...
looks like a dick. What? I gotta see this.
A major sports team would look at this logo and not see that it looks like a dick going up into an asshole.
It kind of looks like a dick.
I'm just saying. Oh my god. If it wasn't embarrassing enough to be a Washington Wizard... No, but what I found interesting about...
It looks like it says dick.
Yeah, that's true. The DC, the old... That's true. No, but what amazed me about this season is that both conferences, the eighth seed came down to the very last game of the year.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and as much as I wish the Pacers had made the playoffs, by the way, when they were like, we're going to bring Paul George back, I'm like, no, you have like 4 games left in the season. What the fuck is wrong with you? And they came this close to breaking his leg again in that last game.
Yeah.
So Pacers, whoever's in charge of that decision, Larry Bird, if that's you... fucking stop it. Let him rest for God's sake, and nobody on that team, nobody play in the fucking FIFA international bullshit. Yes. Don't do it.
This is going to be the summer of George.
The summer of George, by George. So yeah, let's go around and we're going to talk about all the awards, actually, and our candidates as such. But I'm going to go ahead and kick this off. My candidate for MVP is Ludo from Labyrinth.
He doesn't play in the league.
What?
Yeah, Ludo from Labyrinth. He is the most valuable puppet of all of Jim Henson's creations.
What? Kermit's the most valuable puppet.
What? No, first of all, in terms of creation, in terms of scale, in terms of lovableness, I gotta go. I'm sorry, Ludo from Labyrinth.
You're talking to, I mean, in the entire realm of puppetry, that is the most valuable.
No, he's the most valuable puppet.
No. What about Amy from Congo?
Really? Technically a puppet. Really? No, not Amy from Congo.
Tickle me.
Don't JC bad gorilla. JC bad gorilla.
That was an analogy in the mist.
Yeah. Nice. I like that. So that's I'm just saying that's my
That was the first Gorillas in the Mist reference that anybody's ever made.
Anyone
ever
anyone has ever made. But yeah, before we go on to everybody else's picks for MVP of this league this year, let's talk about the defensive player of the year candidates.
James Harden.
Yeah? Yeah, really?
You know what's funny is, like, that's actually not, I mean, that's a joke, but he's...
Thank you. It's better when you explain that.
But he's actually not as... he's not quite as terrible this year. Yeah. Like, joke isn't nearly as funny this
damning
year.
Damning with faint praise like no
year.
One has ever done.
It's like, well, he was sort of learning to fuck his girlfriend. I don't know.
I'm going to go with DeAndre Jordan,
by
the way.
It's like he's just below average, or maybe just slightly above it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard's a good choice.
Because he just shuts people... He shut down Stephen Curry.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say about Kawhi is, like, because of his injury, he didn't have, like, a complete full season, but if he had and he was playing at that level, I think he's definitely in the mix, you know? And that whole, that sort of, you know, Bruce Bowen Bane. Yeah. Like, he takes on the team's best shooter, the best perimeter shooter, and...
Whoa. Wait, Bruce Bowen Bane?
Bruce Bowen Bane.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, if there's a player in the league called Bruce Bowen Bane... who not only steps on people's ankles, but also breaks their backs.
Yeah.
That would be really interesting. By the way, Bruce Bowen, dirtiest player in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, totally.
Dirtier than Charles Oakley?
Way dirtier than Charles Oakley.
Really?
Bruce Bowen used to do this thing where he would pretend it was an accident, but when a player would jump to shoot a three, he would stick his foot underneath them so that they would roll their ankles when he came down.
Oh, yeah.
He got busted for it several times and kept to this day, claims he never did it intentionally.
Oh, what
a fucker. Yeah. Your bow tie can't hide what a douchebag you are. Actually, that speaks for itself.
Yeah, I like the pick of DeAndre Jordan. I always seem to be 1 year off of these because for the last 2 years, I've been saying that DeAndre Jordan should be Defensive Player of the Year. And this year, I think it should be Draymond Green with Golden State.
Yeah. No, that guy's been a beast
because
for sure.
Even though Steph Curry was the MVP of that team went as far as the team did defensively, and he was the anchor of that.
I mean, it's not necessarily that they just completely outshot the other teams. Like, that was one of the top defensive teams in the league, which is something that they couldn't speak to last year.
Yeah. But if DeAndre wins it, I would be happy about that because I've been wanting to see that for the last 2 years. Like, that sounds like calling me crazy.
Like, that sounds like consolation prize of people who say, oh, you should have won the Oscar back when this movie came out.
Yeah. But see, JC, like, listening to you talk about basketball, it feels like I'm listening to people who... know what they're talking about versus people who think what they know what they're talking about. Like, I think you get frustrated because you actually know what you're talking about.
That's why both JC and I are on the show, is because you described our roles. Yeah. The guy who actually knows what he's talking about, the guy who thinks he knows what he's talking about.
It's like if you read, like, Deadspin and they're saying shit like, oh, this person should be the defensive MVP, it's like, really? Because that doesn't make that much sense. Yeah. You say shit that makes sense. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. It's about a year ago. And I was saying, I was wrong, and I was saying, like, oh, they should pay Kobe what he's worth. And you were like, no, this is horrible, and I hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, like, one of our first shows, and, yeah. and JC was just like, nope, it's a terrible deal, and here's why. Yeah. And the Lakers still suck because of it.
Yeah. yeah.
And it's one of those things with defense statistics and advanced metrics. Now it's actually easier to calculate how good of a player is defensively and what kind of impact he has. Because they have things like rim protection numbers and things like that, and it's why typically Defensive Player of the Year goes to a big guy like DeAndre Jordan. But with the advanced metrics, they're able to figure out stuff like Kawhi Leonard and Draymond Green and the kind of impact that they have on players.
That being said, yeah, when was the last, how often is it that a non-center, non-power forward actually gets Defensive Player of the Year?
Jordan's got it, I think, once or twice.
Yeah.
Pippen, I think, has got it.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I'm times. Saying, like, when is the last, I last guess when time? Was the last time? Like, it doesn't seem to really award that many perimeter defenders very much.
I think Bruce Bowen's got one. Yeah.
Remember, kids, it pays to cheat as long as you don't get caught.
The Belichick school. I remember, or like, even if you do get caught, the Belichick school.
Like he would consistently make like the all defensive team.
Oh yeah,
but I don't know whether I don't remember the last time that a non center power forward positional player.
Marc Gasol the year that he won a couple years ago, like his. It was really kind of the first year they applied these metrics, and like he had huge impact. Like when he wasn't there, when he was injured that playoff run,
yeah,
it was totally evident.
So Adam, your pick for Defensive Player of the Year?
You picked it. DeAndre was going to be my pick.
So what's your pick for MVP?
You know what? I thought about this a lot, and you know, there's some really good candidates. I don't know. The first thing that came to mind for me was like, I don't know how you look past the NBC logo. Like
the
NBC logo? Yeah.
What? How does that win for MVP?
I mean, it's obviously the most valuable peacock. I mean, there's no other peacock anywhere on this planet who is can you even think about another peacock? Another peacock with that kind of that just maintains it's been around for 50 years and it's kept that network afloat for that entire time.
Dun, 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 dun,
see,
dun, dun,
now it. An individual peacock, yes, absolutely. Now in terms of team efforts from peacocks. Pretty much every peacock that was ever used in every jungle movie in the 50s to be ambience. You remember that in jungle movies in the 50s? It was like, that's, and it's like, oh, those must be monkeys. It's like, no, it's a fucking peacock.
I can see that. But this is like actually it's the mascot of the entire network. Like you take that away and it's no longer NBC anymore.
Okay,
you know?
If we're going with most valuable and something started with a P, I got most valuable Paul. It's Paul Walker.
Interesting. Interesting.
Because I'll put it this way, in the last 20 years, he's the most valuable Paul.
You know what, that's... There was even a Pope in there.
And taking the title from Paul from Wonder Years. Yeah, yep.
And then, wasn't Paul a Beatle?
Wow, there are people screaming at you in the comment section right now.
I didn't grow up in the fucking Beatles.
I love that I'm black. It gives you an excuse for not knowing who the Beatles are.
It does. Like, wow. I grew up on Lionel Richie and the Temptations and Teddy Pendergrass, not on... Like, that shit used to drive me crazy when I was in school. Like, have you never heard, like, Take Me Home Tonight? I'm like, black. Wasn't listening to that. Jesus Christ.
I wish there was a most valuable cop-out so you could use that every time.
Damn right.
So, Coach of the Year is one we haven't talked about yet. JC, I'm interested to know who your pick would be for Coach of the Year.
I mean, even though they have all the talent around them, they still went from a 50-some-odd win to a nearly 70-win team. Steve Kerr, rookie head coach. I don't know if a rookie has ever won that award.
Avery Johnson was close.
Yeah. It's just... Yeah, I mean... to go from when they fired Mark Jackson, one of the things I've been wrong about in basketball, like, why would you do that? They have already won 50 games. They're this close. How much further can they really go? Well, they can go a lot fucking further, apparently.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's all a credit to Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve Kerr would be my pick as well, actually. I think Steve Kerr has done remarkable things. And I think when he was first hired, a lot of us were like, but we were wrong. Did a really good job.
See, I don't know who the coach is, but whoever's the coach of the Rockets, Bill Laimbeer, I think.
Kevin McHale.
Like, he's doing a good job because I feel like he's the reason that James Harden has developed the way he has.
I could see that.
Yeah. Like, it takes the right coach to bring that out of somebody and to challenge them and say, do you just want to be the best sixth man, or do you actually want to be as good as you can be? Because nobody knew that there was that much in that guy's tank, and now he's just lighting up the world.
Yeah, no,
I can't really argue with you.
It's a good pick.
It's not a bad pick. I mean, you're not saying anything wrong.
Yeah, I mean, James Harden literally went from being a joke to being high up in the running for the actual MVP this year. So.
Oh yeah, I mean, he's in the discussion. Like,
yeah,
it's a good pick. I mean, he's in the same kind of discussion. You could say that, you know, in Russell Westbrook's case, is he had to carry his team for a good portion of the season. Like, they're without Dwight Howard.
Yeah, speaking of,
you know, they were able to secure the number. They were able to secure the number two seed. And, you know, the most competitive conference in basketball. So, yeah.
But being Houston, I just, as somebody who's lived in Houston, I'm just like, there's no way the Rockets win. There's just no way. It's the Rockets. Unless they have Olajuwon on their team, they're not going to fucking win.
Yeah, the way the seedings were, they might get past the Mavericks, but then they're going to end up playing more than likely the Spurs, who I think will beat the Clippers, and Kawhi will just trounce Harden.
Yeah, that'll be fun to watch.
yeah, it will be. Actually, I just thought of something. I have a second pick for MVP. I didn't think about this. I'm going to go with Baymax from Big Hero 6.
Yes!
Yep, he is the most viscous protagonist we have ever seen, so I don't even know why this is a discussion. It's obviously doughy, huggable, spongy, very squishy Baymax from Big Hero 6.
Hairy I love Baymax.
Baby.
Hairy baby. All right, so that brings us, of course, to Rookie of the Year. We can't say Henry Rowan Gardner, because that's the wrong sport. That's the only reason we can't say it.
Go Cubs.
Go Cubs. So I'm going to start with you again, JC. Is it anybody else? Let me just put it that way.
Than Andrew Wiggins?
Yeah, is it anybody else other than Andrew Wiggins? Ender himself, Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes!
I'm just saying.
Out of curiosity, okay, where would you rank Andrew Wiggins' performance on a rookie level with other, I guess, where do you foresee, I guess, his career going based off of how well he played as a rookie? Or, well, maybe how well he did or did not perform as a rookie? Because it's not like this is a run. It's runaway, but not because there's... There's very distant number two.
Let me put it to you this way.
Had a great year.
How does he stack up against the last five Rookie of the Years? People like Michael Carter Williams and Kyrie Irving and people like that.
He's not going to be a better scorer than Kyrie. I think he's similar to... I think similar to a guy like... not as prevalent a scorer as LeBron, but he does seem to have that all-around game. And LeBron was really skinny when he first got into the league, and so the only person who really hasn't gotten any bigger is Kevin Durant. Can't seem to pack any muscle onto his frame, but I think if Andrew Wiggins gets a little bigger and stronger, he'll become a better defender. He's still got kind of a weak three-point shot. If he develops that, I mean, his game will be really similar to LeBron's because he kind of does a little bit of everything. He's the willing passer, not quite as good at passers. Everything about him is just kind of a step below what LeBron does, but he does kind of do a little bit of everything.
But how does he rank up, I guess, how LeBron was when LeBron was actually a rookie?
Like, I know he's pretty similar. Pretty similar. And what's funny about that is the rookie years, as much as I like LeBron, he had the same rookie year as Carmelo Anthony. And I made the argument at the time that I felt like Rookie of the Year should go to Carmelo Anthony, because that year Carmelo had a bunch of game winning shots. He led the Nuggets to the playoffs. The Cavs didn't go to the playoffs. LeBron's rookie year,
right?
That's true.
It's kind of funny how similar it is, and the only thing different is that there isn't a number two.
There isn't a Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
of this draft class.
So the other question is, what about people like Nerlens Noel? Anything?
Nerlens Noel did do really well, and I think I always do get kind of tripped up when a guy gets drafted and gets injured before the season, and he's therefore counted as a rookie in his second year. So yeah, he's still a distant number two, but he did play really well.
Distant number two.
And so
I'm gonna take a distant number two once you guys leave, because I like to be away from everyone when I do it.
He did play really hard. He's a really good shot blocker.
It does seem like he has really good defensive prowess.
Yeah.
Just not very much of an offensive game.
Yeah, and I'm really anxious to see the combo next year of him and Joel Embiid on the front court together. Like, I think that's going to be awesome to see.
I actually, if I had a close second to Andrew Wiggins, it would definitely be, I believe it's pronounced Mrotić. From Chicago. Miritich.
Yeah.
Miritich. It's not pronounced Mrotić at all. Miritich was like, I only saw probably three Bulls games all year, and in every single game, everyone was like, who the fuck is this guy? He is killing it out there.
Miritich is one of these guys from Europe. It's his rookie year, but he's 24 years old. And so people kind of get tripped up on him being a 24-year-old rookie. But yeah, he's Miritich is awesome.
So, JC, I got to ask, your pick for MVP?
The made-up one or...
You should hold on. You should do an actual one, and then it'll launch us into actually picking an MVP. So
okay, well, if you've been following me on Twitter, you'll know that hands down my MVP pick has got to be Steph Curry.
Steph Curry is the accurate choice. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. I think Westbrook went out of the running when they didn't make the playoffs entirely.
Yeah,
James Harden. It comes down to James Harden and Stephen Curry, and if you put their stats next to each other, I'm sorry. Then I hate this show, but I'm going to quote its title, The Numbers Don't Lie.
Yeah. Strangely enough, I'm surprised that actually Anthony Davis isn't really in the discussion.
He should be, and it's one of those...
I'm not saying he should win, but I'm surprised that it's actually become such a, like, scoring has become such a prominent factor of determining who's actually the MVP, but, and not saying that neither one of those guys don't have, or I am saying James Harden is a subpar defender, but Curry actually is, he's amongst the top in the league in steals, so he has... He's got a defensive game as well, but I mean, in terms of overall impact and exactly, you know, how important or how pivotal they were to the team's success, I don't see how you actually don't talk about Anthony Davis.
No, it always ends up boiling down to two people, but I think a clear number three would be Anthony Davis, and I always place a lot of value in people that are in the discussion. Like last year, I remember thinking Blake Griffin should deserve some consideration for Chris Paul being out so much of the year, and he played really well.
I feel like there's a big, maybe this is me as the person who doesn't watch like as much regular season basketball, but how is LeBron James not in this discussion?
That's true too.
It's a combination of all the time that he missed this year compared to what he usually does. Being in the East, he didn't lead them to a number one seed, which kind of hurts.
But they were the Cavs last year, like. They were just shit on a shingle.
I feel like it's weird that he's getting a bad break because he's not having the LeBron statistical kind of year.
Right.
Like you're measuring him. It's strange that you're measuring him against former seasons of himself versus
this is the first season in 8 years in which his field goal percentage went down. He actually shot 47% this year, which is I think the first time in 10 years he's done that.
Yeah. What LeBron feels like this year is he went from being. And this is going to sound weirdly specific, but he went from being like the star producer at a company where he could just be he could just play his role. And they promoted him to management. He's been like, I have to figure this shit out. And so all this other stuff went down.
And one of the arguments that a lot of people do make about Curry versus Harden is that people talk about how good Curry's teammates are. And his teammates are good.
I'm sorry, that's a fucking ridiculous argument.
Yeah, his teammates are good, but his teammates, it's not like, you know, it's not like Pippen, Kukoc, and Rodman in the 90s.
And the average basketball fan, if the average casual basketball fan could name one other person on the Golden State roster that, you know, that isn't Steph Curry... Right. I would be shocked.
Yeah. And the thing about LeBron with Cleveland, LeBron, I think, is a victim.
Other than the other Splash Brother.
Yeah. I think LeBron is a victim of how good his teammates are because you'll see many times where if Kyrie's on fire, LeBron's is going to hang back and be like, go.
Yeah.
And also, I'm sorry, James Harden has Dwight Howard. Like, you have at least...
And Trevor Ariza is not a fucking pushover. Yeah,
Trevor Ariza is not a pushover. Josh Smith's former All-Star. Like,
but like the incredibly disappearing Dwight Howard.
Okay, but here's my point. You take Steph Curry off the Golden State Warriors.
That's true.
There are no Golden State Warriors.
You take LeBron James off the Cavaliers.
There were no Cavaliers. Yeah. You take James Harden away from the Rockets. They've still at least got Dwight Howard. That's true. They still have a great... Well, I mean, they both have great coaches. But, I mean, this is a situation where the most valuable player to me is always the player that makes the most impact on his team and the player who is the most responsible for their success. Yeah. If you took... And I can prove this, okay? Tom Brady got injured, broke his leg. Remember that? Remember who stepped in as their quarterback?
Matt Cassel. Yeah.
You know who kept winning with that team? Matt Cassel. And then when Matt Cassel went to Kansas City, it was like he'd never played quarterback before.
Yeah.
Which once again proves my theory, Tom Brady's overrated. But also, my point...
Patriots did.
My overall point is that I've always looked at that as kind of my qualifier for who should really be MVP. The guy that if you take him out of the equation... Everything falls apart.
That was always my argument for why Peyton Manning would always win over Tom Brady is because when you take Peyton Manning out of the offense,
the Colts get a first round draft pick.
Well, they're 2-14.
I think both you and JC have convinced me because I think Steph Curry in both counts come out. He comes out over James Harden for just being individually better,
mm-hmm.
and he has made a better impact on the Golden State Warriors than LeBron has on the Cavs, because he's a victim of having Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, and on top of all the discussion, like, for so long, it used to just be kind of open and shut, best player, best team, done. And so you can look at it that way, or you can, like, dive deep into the numbers like we've discussed. And on the surface level, Curry's numbers are better. Analytically, his numbers are better. If you look at the advanced metrics for defense, people don't realize how good of a defender, not just steals, but, like, an on-ball defender that Steph Curry is. Yeah.
No, I just tell you, like, this stuff, like, this discussion, I started looking at it because, like, I love the Olympics. I'm like that guy. And I can't fucking wait for the Dream Team in 2016.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be fucking stacked.
As long as Paul George isn't on that team. Because I'm sorry. Regular season only, Paul, from here on out.
I just want to see Steph Curry. I want to see the Steph Curry, LeBron, John Wall, Kevin Durant. Just all on the same floor at the same time.
And then there's Jesse the Body Ventura. There's Shane Black. There's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers.
They might as well be.
That's the dream team I'm looking at. Well, this has been, you know.
I was gonna say the one thing that I was gonna say that I'd forgotten about, the reason why I wasn't considering LeBron in the MVP race, not just because statistically he wasn't stacking up to what he had done in the past.
And he did have Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving.
But I mean. He did, I guess, yeah, he had those, but even with still having those, his turnover rate had gone up significantly over the past few years.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something that, to some degree, you actually do have control over.
That's true.
Like, you do have control over how frequently you turn the ball over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know? It's the reason why I think the Cavs will kind of walk into the finals, but then I hope that they play the Warriors, because if they do, then I truly will be okay with whatever outcome, because I think LeBron and the Cavs, like, LeBron's team is once again going to get trounced by whoever comes out of the West.
I'm just really glad that this season is ending, because if there has ever been a clearer sign of the coming apocalypse than the Atlanta Hawks finishing first in their conference...
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria!
Thank you, Dr. Vickman. Yes, absolutely. That is the sign of the end. So, and hey, speaking of signs of the end, this show's over! We finished the episode. Hope you guys have had fun playing I am Debo, however we want to pronounce it when I re-edit this.
I am Debo.
I am Sam, whatever. And then, of course, talking about the Star Wars Force Awakens trailer. And then, of course, talking about our picks for MVP, be they Baymax, be they Ludo, be they the NBC Peacock, be they Paul Walker. Yeah, absolutely. I think we've really nailed what an MVP really is. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Hope you've had fun. Just want to let you know that this show, just like all of our content at One of Us, is available on iTunes and on Stitcher. You can also follow us on Twitter at ITLcast and like the website on Facebook, facebook.com/oneofusnet. You can follow us individually on Twitter. I'm at Bri Guy Salisbury.
At ITL Elliot.
At JCDeLeon1.
At @_beef.
And of course, don't forget to download yourself a free audiobook courtesy of this show's sponsor, Audible.com. Lots of audiobooks out there, and you can get yourself a free one by clicking on the link at the bottom of this page or going to audibletrial.com/oneofus. And when you do that, not only do you get something for free, but we benefit. So thank you very much for doing that. Also, please consider becoming a subscriber. We got lots of goodies for you there, and that's how we keep the lights on. So if you like this and you want to hear more of it, please keep subscribing. But that's going to do it for now. So at the end of the show, I'm going to do it the way I always do, paraphrasing the great Rocket Raccoon. When it comes to sportscasts on the internet, ain't no thing like us, except us.
For a vagina I love so much. That sounds like vagina.
That's exactly what I was saying. The vagina.
That's what I heard.
That's B-roll that's saying.
For a vagina that I love so much.
That's what I heard.
That's what we all heard.
I got it.
Say, did you kill a woman, Elliot?
No.
He said that really slowly. Did anybody else notice that? He said it really slowly.
Did. There was no question mark at the end.
Okay, I got it now.
I didn't kill a woman?